Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You just celebrated 30 years, was it?
30 years in St. Louis.
Isn't that crazy? 30 years?
Yes. I was, I think I told you this before. I thought I'd come here for a couple of years and then hopefully move to Chicago or something. Mm-hmm. But I did run into Paul Reiner, mm-hmm. who was then the past president of St. Louis University. You mm-hmm. see, I had gone to a Jesuit high school mm-hmm. in Cleveland, Jesuit College mm-hmm. in Boston, and I said, I'll make a little diplomatic courtesy call mm-hmm. to Father Reinert here. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, he said, if you marry a girl from St. Louis, you'll never move out. And he was right.
They somehow know. What drives you crazy in radio?
Oh,
I mean, you've seen a lot of things in 30 years. There's got to be things that just drive you crazy when it happens.
Well, okay. Mostly the guests
yeah.
who you could ask them, what time is it? And they'll tell you, well, as I say in the book, I can't stand people who have talking points. Politicians uh-huh. either. I like people who are real, mm-hmm. kind of genuine. And so when people are obviously trained by someone to respond to a talk show host with their memorized ad libs, right? I can't stand that. That drives me crazy, honestly.
You can't combat that, though. I mean, they do their answer, and you only get 15 minutes with someone, so you don't have a lot of time. I mean,
one time we had a woman on, and she was purported to be an expert on time management, and she would save you time, which yeah. at the time, still today, I could really use that advice. So we booked her, but it mm. turns out that her tour was sponsored by Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. And every question I asked her, she responded with a recommendation that we get and eat Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. No matter what. I said, well, how about students? Well, Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is great for students. Do you have any advice for the businessman who is on the road a lot? Yes, Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. It was the worst.
When you're at a fancy steakhouse, what do you ask for? Kraft Macaroni and Cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Those sponsored interviews, sometimes you don't know when it's coming until after. You're talking to them, and then you catch on like, oh.
And sometimes you don't
deals.
Know.
Yeah.
You don't even, there could be dark money behind all our interviews. You don't know who's, you interview someone. Like today, I had someone on from creditcard.com mm-hmm. because he was pointing out some interesting credit cards,
yeah.
one where you get 75,000 miles and $95 annual fee.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, who's sponsoring this at the end of the day? Is mm-hmm. it that credit card paying him, or is he working for a not-for-profit? Sometimes I'm never even sure.
Yeah. Well, of course, people like the idea of getting their websites out there and just the,
sure.
the, if you get on KMOX, that makes you feel pretty good as a guest, right? They get on the Charlie Brennan program.
Hopefully there are a few ears when you get on the program. That's what we all hope, right?
Yeah, what's something you've never done in 30 years in St. Louis that you've always wanted to do?
I want to interview Kevin Kline someday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can't get near the guy.
Why not?
I don't know. We've made overtures. Even when he was stumping for John Kerry, mm-hmm. he wasn't available. I don't know if he does many interviews, but, he grew up here.
Yeah.
And I always thought it would be interesting to hear what his life was like here in St. Louis before mm-hmm. he became rich and famous. So want to do that. I really wish St. Louis would build a marina in downtown St. Louis. Mm-hmm. That would be great. That's not me, of course. But
we get an aquarium. That'll be nice when that opens up.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had one at the City Museum, didn't we?
I don't know.
Union Station's building one, too.
Yeah, that's the one they're building. Yeah,
yeah, right. So that'll be great.
The
but that's
pitchers.
Not the same as having, sailboats outside the arch. I think that would look great.
Did you ever make it on the big McDonald's paddle boat that was out there?
Yes, I did. And, in fact, I had lunch on one of the paddle boats about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was very nice, beautiful view of the arch. A friend of mine from Cleveland, Ryan, came, and he said that having a McDonald's on your riverfront is an urban pioneer, or rather an urban planner's nightmare.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, you're trying to build your city. You don't want to do it around McDonald's.
That's memorable, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is.
It's better than a bunch of abandoned buildings we can't renovate or fix up or whatever.
And we have a lot of them on the riverfront. A friend of mine ran American Steamboat. Mm-hmm. They have a steamboat that goes up and down the Mississippi from, I think, New Orleans to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you can take these trips with various ports of call. But he said we would come into St. Louis at night because we didn't want people to see it.
Yeah.
He said it was the ugliest port of call approaching it anyway. Once you got to downtown, great. But getting there and then leaving, not too attractive.
Do you ever name drop?
I do all the time.
Yeah.
When I started, it was not, you know, it was considered rude or wrong. Mm-hmm. Today, everyone name drops. You know, if you had, for example, I had Andy Cohen on the program this morning.
Right.
It's name dropping. And he's made a living name dropping. I don't know if you've seen his show, but it seems like name dropping has become part of what people do now.
Yeah. What's the difference between you and Andy Cohen on a talent level? Because he does the sit-down interviews. He's very personable, just like you. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, he walks in a room, everyone smiles because he's kind of a fun guy.
He is that guy, isn't he?
And then in his first 10 minutes, he has about four or five different games with the guests. Mm-hmm. And you think, wow, that's a whole half-hour show. He's just getting started. Mm-hmm. He has, in his interview, he might say hello to the person, then interview the bartender, and then maybe some other guest. And then he has the guest, and maybe then he'll have, okay, now we play this game. Then a couple more questions. Then he plays another game. And I'm pretty impressed with the amount of work that goes into that show.
How many writers do you think he has?
I don't know. Maybe one or two.
Really?
I'm gonna tell you something about his show.
Yeah.
It's like in a garment district of New York. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many tales I should tell, but I was in his studio audience on the 29th. You go to this old factory building, and at the front door, there's a bouncer. If your name's on the list, you can get to the elevator, and then you go up where drinks are served for free. Okay, and they play loud, like disco music or something, where you and the other members of the studio audience, I was studio audience, not a guest, of course, you wait. So you drink, and he comes up on the same freight elevator. His producer is pouring the drinks. So it's not a huge staff. And that person who pours the drinks then is among those who want everyone to clap and applaud as loudly as they possibly can. They point out that the other late night shows only, you know, have four times the audience.
Yeah.
So we have to make up for that with enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And everything that is said, there's someone leading the applause.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Cohen's dressing room is right around the corner from the studio itself. The studio is small. I think it's about 10 people working on the whole thing.
How is he not a radio guy? That sounds like how we've always had to do radio with. We always had to make a big production with a lot less. Normally when you hear about these TV productions, they have a 12 staff writing this show, and they're doing all the jokes. And even on top of that, it's not as entertaining. You have Andy Cohen. You can sit down, watch his show. He is super charismatic. He is so good with the guests. And he's just so personable, and that's just because that's him as a personality. That's like a radio show, you know?
Well, he does a radio show. You know, he's got that whole channel on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And he, you know, that's a really good point you make because he does operate it. But here's the thing. Nobody watching the show knows any of this, right?
Yeah.
They don't know he's coming up on a freight elevator with the guests or, you know, the studio audience. They don't know that the producer is also the bartender, is also like the stage manager, whatever.
Yeah.
But he pulls it off. I mean, last night he had Eddie Redmayne, famous actor, as well as Zoe Kravitz, you know, another great actress. And the audience was going wild. So he's got that. He's got the three New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah.
He's the producer of these Real Housewives series. The guy never stops.
Are you going to write any more books?
Yes. But I think I might self-publish this time. You don't make enough money working for a publisher.
Huh.
So when I wrote the most recent book, Amazing St. Louis, they gave me $1.35 a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sold 13,000. Mm-hmm. The publisher probably makes 10 bucks a copy.
Yeah.
But who does all the work? The author.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next time around, it might look cheap, but I think self-publishing is the way to go if you have a local regional book. You can't do it nationally.
Yeah. 13,000 is a lot. That's
not really.
You don't think so? I think that's a lot.
20,000 is a bestseller.
13,000 is good then for a regional.
Well, it's a regional.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If I sold 13,000 in the top 30 markets, then I'd really have a lot of money.
Did Hillary Clinton even sell that much on her book? She struggled selling hers, and she's a well-known brand.
I am sure she sold
I don't know
many,
she
many
did.
Copies. Okay. She got 63 million votes, so 1% of those
bought the book. You've seen those photos of her at Costco selling in front of the paper and things. Yeah.
Well, that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that's a good place to go. Let's say you write a book, Ryan, don't go to Costco and wait for Bob from Boonville to drop by. You have to go speak to the Rotary or the Lions Club, the Chamber of Commerce, and then sell your book, you know, make it interesting, and then people will line up.
Yeah.
And I've seen people do that very successfully.
All right, one more question for you. If you can change one thing about radio, what would you change?
Well, I think I probably shouldn't say it, but I think we're cutting back staff too much, so I would change that.
Reverse the trend of cutting,
I would spend more time on terrestrial and less on all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know me, you're probably not surprised by me saying that, but I love to hear people talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I relax and inform myself.
Mm-hmm.
You say something interesting or informative or funny, I listen to you.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it much more than the social media, than the online experience.
Yeah.
And so I wish we didn't have to spend so much time sending everybody to kmox.radio.com or my Twitter handle or whatever. Because the experience of me listening to you share your thoughts or interview an expert or someone who's famous, I prefer that to all the other experiences.
Yeah. You know, I've interviewed people in Canada. There's a really big radio company called Chorus, and they own maybe 12 or 13 radio stations. But when it comes to their digital side, they have a complete digital staff that not just recycles the content on air, but they actually package it in a way where they're trying to hit that unique audience. Their goal is to get each of their shows downloading at 100,000 a month, 100,000 downloads a month. They accomplish that on about 25% of their shows, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it. And the way they do that is instead of cutting back and just putting whatever on the web, they actually have someone that takes pride in managing that. So they'll take what was there and they'll find a way to repackage it so the audience online wants that sort of thing, and it's really successful for them.
So what kind of shows are they
offering? This is their talk show. So if you listen,
kind?
So if you it's almost like the KMOX of Vancouver would be. I forgot what the call letters are. So if they have their regular talk shows that they do on air, but the way they package their shows is a lot different when it comes to their digital. So they almost package it in a way where they know this is what's going to be popular for a podcast. We're only going to take the parts that are popular, and we'll get it all together in a way that we know people would want to download it. So as opposed to just saying, in case you missed it, here's what you can listen to, this is a whole different new experience, even though it's what they used on air. So they're being crafty with it. As opposed to cutting back, they hired more people that knew how to do this, and they've been super successful with it on the digital side. So I think there's a lot of advantages to stop cutting back if you can add on and just know where you need to add.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a huge advantage for radio.
Do they cut up the on-air programming and then repackage it?
That's what they do, yeah.
Okay, but they don't take the whole thing. They take
portions. Take the whole thing.
Like, here's the kernel of our interview with Bob Spitz that you will enjoy.
Yeah, it would be like, I'm trying to think of a good example. So if you could do it that way where but that's pretty straightforward. This is more or less like if you were to watch, you ever watch like an SNL compilation where they don't show the full skits, but they show a couple like really good parts of, it'd be like that. So here's just not even the whole interviews. Here's the best parts of the best parts, but it's packaged in a way where, you know, this might be good on air, but this is what's good for online.
How long are those segments? Do you know?
No, I'm not.
Because I like to, you know, weed in the backyard, do chores, listening, let's say, podcasts, including, you know, ones here. But they should be about 35 minutes long at least.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be like, well, I shouldn't say that because NPR does have, let's say, they'll give you a bunch of their segments, you know, 4 or 5 minutes long each, and you can kind of go from one to the other if you want.
Yeah, they'll have, you know, 15, 20 people working on a show, though, you know, on NPR. That's like as high as it gets when it comes to podcasting.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like the absolute pinnacle of it.
Mm.
Charlie Brennan, thank you for talking radio with me.
Ryan, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.